Okay, Rabbi Isai, good evening. From Huntsville, Alabama.
How you say?
We are on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, the middle of the page. We just said, it's two dots. It says, Kadamach Reb Simon Bar Zvid. I hope you can see it. So when Reb Simon Bar Zvid passed away, all Reb Laya of the Iftari Loi. So Reb Laya came and said the following hesped. I brought Ram Tashish Shaladam. There's four basic elements in the world that are the main, which is referring to apparently silver, gold, iron, and copper. If they get lost, you can replace them. You could order up new things from the mines, you know, silver, gold, so on. Is a source for silver, a place where gold can be refined. Bazon may offer yukoch, iron can be taken from the ground. Evan yotzuk nechusha, copper can be smelted from stone. Elu im avdu yeshlam chalif. These things, if they're lost, you can replace them. Avol tamach chacham shemeis. Me maybe lano chalifasim. Me maybe lano tamurasa. Who can give us his replacement? As far as wisdom, from where is it to be found? Where is understanding to be located? It's hidden from the eyes of all living creatures. So it's a great hesped, classic. I'm Rav Levi. Makes a very interesting kalvachimer here. Madoch, the brothers, when they found, you know, the gevia and the sack, they were all very, very, very afraid. They completely lost it. Their heart sank. Onu sha'avadnu esuv simen bar zvid. So we lost a treasure of shim bar zvid. Alach's come become all the more so how upset we must be. It's a little bit of a strange kind of framework.
Isn't it both a response to something you didn't expect?
I guess that's what the idea is. Yeah. It's a funny kind of framework, no? I mean, they're coming from two totally different perspectives. One is the loss of a precious item, and one is finding something, which is going to create a very, very uncomfortable situation, which could threaten everyone's lives. All right. Next, Kadamach Reb Levi Bar Sisi. Again, here is the Levi Bar Sisi that we keep seeing. So it says when he passed away, all Ivei de Shmuel after he lived. So the father Shmuel went and made the following hesped. So after all, called Nishma, that's all. Kimi Ray, Lama Yal Levi and Sisi Daimel Lamelch Shahiyu like Karam. What is this comparable? This is like a king who had a vineyard. For Chayyu Boy Meyak Fanim, he had 100 vines. Chayyu Isis Koshanu Meshanu Meyak Amis Shol Yain. So the 100 vines produce 100 barrels of wine. Then, there's in parenthetic remark here. It says part of the vineyard was destroyed. That's missing from the Hebrew. Omar al Chamishim. So we're left with 50. It still continued to produce 100 barrels of wine. More damage. Omar al Boim, 40. It continues to make 100. Omar al Shloshim. 30, Esrim 20, Esrim 10, Amar Alechad, finally down to 1. Okay, so no matter what it is, we still get the same yield of 100 barrels of wine. That one surviving grapevine was as kavav to the king as the entire vineyard. So too, Reb Levi Bar Sisi was chavav l'Kadosh Baruch Hu k'chol Adam. He was like as chavav as all humanity. This is it's like a play on words. Not that this is what all that makes up of a man, but rather he's equivalent to the whole of mankind. You know, on the bottom, he brings in footnote 24, he brings over here the Yerushalmi and Yevamis says that there was a group of people from the city of Simonaya came to Yudah and Nasi, and they said, give us a man who's a speaker, a judge, a gabbai, a teacher of children who can take care of all our needs. And he gave them Levi, and he said, "By Chayecha, I've given you someone who's my equal." So he was quite an Olam Goro. Okay. Kana, now here we're referring to Rav Kahana, and Yerushalmi is calling him by his name without a title, Kahan. Now, this is, we're trying to translate it Rav Kahana, but it's notable, I should say. And in footnote, I think it's 26, it says, not this one. Just one second. It says it's, I thought I saw a footnote that explained this. He was young. I don't know why I seem to have trouble finding it. Anyway, Kano was a young man. Hava Ulam. He was a very young man. Sagan. He was very young. Katzlik Lahacha. When he came to Eretz Yisrael from Bavel, Kham Sechan Bar Pachin. So a certain person of base character saw him. Which the Mari Folder calls him an Ish Buliyal, someone who is lacks midas, proper midas. Now there's a background here. There's a whole story here. Lengthy story is quoted in the bottom here in footnote 26. I'm going to summarize the story because apparently it's pretty important to understand the background of the story in order to understand why this Ish Buliyal, how he's making fun of him. Or he's saying a remark which is inappropriate. So the story goes like this. So Rav Kahana was a Talmud of Rav. He was sitting, there was a threat against his life, and the Greeks were going to come after him. So he said, go to Eretz Yisrael and run away from here. So he went to learn by Rav Yehuda. Okay. So Rav told Rav Kahana, he knew how sharp Talmud Chacham he was. He says, but make sure that you accept upon yourself not to raise any questions for 7 years. So he goes to Eretz Yisrael. So he comes to the base manager, he's sitting there, and he hears the shir from Yochanan, and they push him to the back. You know, they said he was a smart guy, but anyway, he didn't raise any questions during the shir. They pushed him to the back of the back seven rows. The people who were very flush would be in the front row. They pushed him back seven rows, and then Rav Kahana says to himself, you know what? The seven rows that they pushed me back, that's equivalent to the 7 years that Rav told me not to ask any questions because I've gone through so many bizyonis already. I'm going to start asking questions. So he started asking the questions, and then he started moving them up again. Anyway, so apparently Rav Kahana had a split lift. What do we call that in English? Shamsi.
Split lift fissure?
No.
From birth?
Yeah. What do they call that? What?
Would it be a cleft palate?
Cleft palate. That's the word I'm trying to think of. Yeah. So this was like, it's apparently he had something like that. So when Yochanan lifted up his eyes to see who is this big Talmud Chacham that's asking such good questions, he mistakenly looked to him like, because his teeth were showing apparently, it looked to him like he was laughing at him. So he got all upset. So when Rav Yochanan gets upset, it's dangerous. It actually killed Rav Kahana on the spot. So he, Rabbi Yochanan says, you see this Bavloi that, that came up and he's laughing at me. And the Bnei Yeshiva explained to Rabbi Yochanan, this is, he wasn't laughing, this is the way he looks because of his, the way that this, this malformation of his mouth. So Rabbi Yochanan told terrible, and it says he was, he went to him and he was machayim mason. Okay, that's that basic outline of the story. There's more details here. That's the basic outline. But so what happened is, so this, this person who's a Bli Yal, he knows the story. He knows that Rav Kahana had died and that he was brought back to life by Rabbi Yochanan. So that was the, so that's the background behind his next comment, which he's about to make. Okay, so he says to him, now we're on Lamed of a base. So he says to him mockingly, what's going on in heaven? In other words, you just came back, you died, you came back. You know, what's doing up there? You know, what's new? So it was in a, an inappropriate remark. A Malay, Rav Kahana, said, Gzar Dine Dahu Gavra Mifsam. You know what's going on up there? That the Gzar Din of the, meaning the death penalty, is for that person, referring to you, you know. Okay, now this amazing, he dies, he dies. Now another guy comes, Pagabekam Sechad Charon. And another person goes by and says the same thing. I'm like, Makol B'Shmaya, what's new? I'm like, Gazar Dina Dahu Gara Mechsam. He said the same thing. B'chein Havaslei, he also dies. Almost Rav Kahana says to himself, Maslikas Mizki. What I come here for, to do good deeds, right? I came here to do mitzvah and mitzvah. So I'm not echti, I'm sinning. Instead of doing mitzvahs, I'm sinning. Maslikas, what did I come here for? The mitzvah of Ne'ar, there is the Yisrael. I came here to kill up the residents of Eretz Yisrael. Maybe I should go back down to where I came from. Maybe like going down, of course, even though you're going north, but because our Yisrael is the Milam, we call it Ratzis, right? So therefore, it's always called going down when you go to Bava. Also, Lagabi Rabbi Yochanan, so he came to Rabbi Yochanan because he couldn't leave Rabbi Yochanan without asking his Rishos. So he says to Rabbi Yochanan the following riddle. A Malay, Banashti, Imei, if a person has a mother who belittles him, and his father's wife, meaning his stepmother, she gives him honor. To where should he go? Which home should he live in? Should he live by his mother? Because that's his natural mother who he's believed to give him enough an aim. Or should he go to his stepmother where he's treated properly? Go where they honor him. You know, forget your mother, go to your stepmother, go where they give you covet. So Rabbi Kahana went back to Babel. So they told Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Kahana went back to Babel. So Rabbi Yochanan said, he went without asking me, Rishos, what kind of behavior is this? So they said to him, this thing that he asked you, he haven't told the Shusti day. That's asking the Shus because you told him to go where he's honored. So he decided to go to Bava where they give him covet. Okay. Good stories. Reb Ze'era Kad Slick.
Why are you telling it to us?
What?
Why is he not telling us the story?
What's the what is the purpose of this story?
Yeah.
I think the main purpose is to show how careful you have to be with the covet of Talmidei Chachamim. I guess it follows from the previous haspeidim of how precious Talmidei Chachamim are. Someone has to appreciate them not only after they're dead, but also while they're alive. And to treat them disrespectfully is not proper. And especially, it can be quite dangerous, in fact, because even a Talmud is treated, could get punished. Okay. I don't have any other thoughts. If anybody wants to add anything here, the floor is open here. People online, if they want to say anything, what the purpose of the Gemara?
Gemara is telling great Torah scholars who died before their time, and those people that made fun of great scholars died before their time.
Okay, so we have a before their time, Sad HaShavah here. Yep. Now, when Rav Zera came up here, Azalak is dumb. So he went to let blood. That's what they used to do for health reasons. So what they used to do is they used to eat meat. Footnotes mention that also maybe drinking wine as well. But the idea is, you know, obviously you want to replace the lost protein from giving the blood. You want to give yourself back the strength. So he went to the market to buy some meat. Also, why this about liter of cooked meat. He went to buy a liter's worth of meat from the butcher, a Malay. So Reb Zera said to the butcher, "Come, how many liters? So how much is this liter of meat?" A Malay, v'chamshin money, v'chad kursa. It's very interesting. You know what the price is? 50 dinar and one patch. Well, he calls it one lash. It means I get to hit you once as well. So that's interesting. I'm going to pay you $50 and you also get to hit. Amalei, so Reb Zera says to him, you know what? Savlach Shitin, take 60 and forget about the land. Look who alay, but the butcher wouldn't accept that. Savlach Shivin, look who alay, Savlach Shmoinim, Savlach Tishma, Adamatul Meya. He said, take 80 and 90 until he reached 100, but he still wouldn't accept it. Look who alay, he still wouldn't accept it. Amalei, so Reb Zera says, Amalei, come in, Hagach. Okay, that's the custom here. He said he gave him the 50 dinar. And he accepted the patch. The room shenachas the base fadas. In the evening, he goes to the base vendors. He says to them, "What kind of business is this? Rabbanan, my bish minhagadach. What kind of minhagim do you have over here in this town? Crazy minhagim. The loyacha banash liter of the kupon ad mochalechad kersum. Can't eat meat until they give you a patch." So they said to him, "Oh, dang, what are you talking about?" Amalayin. Take go over go to this butcher shop and you'll see yourself. This I didn't make this up. So Shalchan, so they sent a delegation of people. Boy, my Sise, they wanted to bring him in front of the elders of the city to give him punishment. What kind of baloney is this? Ashwathan are right enough, but they found instead of finding him in the butcher shop serving his customers, they instead found him that he was in his coffin leaving the building. He had passed away. So they realized Reb Zeira must have given him some kind of big ayin hara and punished him. So they said, "I'm in lace." And the rabbi said to Reb Zeira, "Rebbe, kol hachin, you had to go ahead and be so angry with him. I mean, you know, that's pretty extreme. You took away a local butcher." I'm a lie. So Reb Zeira says to them, "Yesi alai de loy places." He says, like a lashon shvua, bad should happen to me if I showed him any anger, right? Basically, he's saying, I did not have any feelings of anger towards this person whatsoever, I thought this was truly the custom. In other words, he wouldn't be angry at the butcher for doing like the custom of the local town if that was their custom. So he was just doing the custom. I can't have kindness of a person who's following the customs of his town. That seems to be, I have to say, I try to put myself in the place of this person. You know, if I go to somebody and somebody behaves improperly, I would not allow a person to behave poorly and for him to hide behind the veil of that's the custom. What are you, crazy? You follow a custom of a town that's improper? That's a poor excuse. You know, I would be very angry at the person. But here, I'm not Reb Zeira, obviously, he had no problem with it.
He thought it was the Malkum.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the in footnote 11, he brings the Agoros Eliyahu, which I think it's in the Vilna Gaon, not sure, compares this to a practice within the army of the Ottoman Empire. A general would strike a newly appointed subordinate on his neck to drive home the point that from then on, the subordinate had to obey whatever the general commanded him. So, I don't know. I don't know why you would be. You're not subordinate to your butcher. We're subordinate to having to pay the kind of prices we have to pay. Okay, Rabbi Yosef, when Rabbi Yosef came up from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, obviously it's a long trip to travel from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. I don't know how long it took them, but it was a multi-day trip for sure. His hair grew long, and he probably was very, very hot and tired and worn out, and he needed a bath also. So what did he do? He went first, Azal Sapar, he went to get a haircut. And after that, he wanted to go bathe in the hot springs of Tveria to rejuvenate himself. So another jokester comes. He gives him a smack on the back of his neck. Now we're Laman Aleph, Laman Aleph. So he says to him, I could not look to say Dahu Gavarafya. That helped, but the neck of that person is still soft. So if you want to firm it up, you better go to the springs. So he walked away. So Yasa goes into the bathhouse. At that time, the judge was going ahead and judging a certain highway robber. So the jokester went to watch. He was laughing to himself at the prank he just played, and he stood facing the accused. The judge says to the robber, he's beating him, saying, who was that with you when you were stealing? So when the robber lifted up his eyes, he saw this fellow laughing and assumed he was laughing at him. So the robber said to the judge, this guy who's laughing, he was with me. So the judge took the jokester and he tried him and he beat him. And the jokester confessed to him that Hitaka was guilty of a murder. When they were both going out to be hung, they were wearing two sets of iron chains around their neck. Then at that time, Rabbi Yosef was coming out of the bathhouse after he was finished bathing. So he saw this Letz going to be killed. So the Letz looks to him and he says, the neck that was truly soft, referring to his own neck, it's been constricted by this iron collar. So the blow I gave your neck was already avenged by Shemayim. Said, how bad is the fortune of that person? It's not due to my dishonor. I forgave you. It's because of your cynical humor. Don't you know what it says in the Navi? Don't speak like a letz, because your restraints will become stronger here on your necks. So he's using a pasuk to say that it's not because of something I did to him. I thought the pshat is when the Letz admitted to the judge that he killed somebody, the pshat is that he was being moida. I thought the pshat is pashut, that he was like a shtekel mab tekaver barab, like or at least mab tekavero, because by slapping somebody, it's a busha. So an mab tekavero is like killing him. So that's why he admitted to the judge. He realized that he was being punished for his sin. That's why I think he said, I killed one person. That's what I thought the shot was. I didn't see it anywhere, but you know, while I'm reading it, it hits me. That's what it means. So we learn how bad Latzonis is. Shetzi Lassi Yisurim, it's the beginning of it, is affliction, you get Yisurim. The siphon cloy, and at the end, it's an elation, you get destroyed. Like we just said, so I conclude the Ksiv, Yicholav Necharatzah, Shemat Meis Adonai Elohim, Svaros Alkol Arex. Total annihilation I heard from Hashem concerning the entire land. I don't know exactly what these we're talking about. Let's see. It says not to, the prophet warns not to indulge in frivolous service. Okay, the kids are, this is a very important Gemara about not, you have these Letzonim who obviously, they lost control of themselves, either asking what's doing in Shemayim, an appropriate question, or hitting him in the back of the neck. It's obviously inappropriate. But sonus is never a good thing. Halacha tests. All right. Chassan writes a likras of Shema B'Laila Harishon. If the Chassan wants to read the first night, one second. Kare, he can read. Okay. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Loikal writes a litol, and says Sham Yitol. Not anybody can do this. In other words, the question is a problem of yuhara, right? It's a question of gaiva, because by doing this, you're saying, oh, look, I'm not like everybody else. I am able to have kavana. So that's why the Haredim brings over here the Tanakama suffered like Hashin on the yuhara. Tanakama held you don't have to worry about gaiva. Rav Shimon Gamliel suffered the Hashin. He held you are cautious for yuhara. Because of Amaforshim, then he quotes the Amaforshim, you know, a whole list over here. We who don't have really that great a kavanah of the whole year. If you're not going to read the night of the chasana, that'll look like a gaiva because you're saying the whole year I'm a chavid, but tonight I'm not able to have that kavanah. So since we don't want to show that, so we're chayiv, is my name a chasana to read Kriya Shema. Okay. Tonight. 31.82, Tani, called Davar Shu Shatzar. Now the Gemara is going to now discuss when sometimes when you're able to be machmer, sometimes being makabel chumra is considered gaiva, and sometimes it's not considered gaiva. So it lays it out very simply. If by giving machmer it's going to be painful, so then it's allowed. And if it's going to be it's going to bring me great covet, so then it's not allowed. So that's what it says. But so that's the rule. Tony, call the Roshu Shal Tsar, if it's going to give a distress. Call the Roshu Shal Tsar, if you want to make yourself like the special individual, you can. This refers to the initial Tanesim in Masechta Tanis, that it says that after a certain point, Marcheshon, something, Marcheshon, the rain hasn't come. So then it says you have distinguished Yechidim, who would start to have three fasts. So the question is, who are these Yechidim? Let's see. He says the Haredim says that the distinguished individuals here refer to God-fearing individuals who are neither Torah scholars nor Amoratzim. Anyway, so he says that that's a difficult shot because the Gemara in Tainus says that these Yechidim are exceptional Torah scholars who are worthy to be, you know, Nimna, to be, you know, Gaboyim on the Tzibur. So it's a little difficult, this Haredim. So Yechidim normally means, you know, people who are unusual. So that's what it's basically saying over here. So even though I'm not an outstanding person, but if I want to make myself like a Yochid, since that's going to be Tzar, I'm going to be incurring fasting, which is tsar, so you could do it. I don't know how they had to read it exactly. Tamachacham osa, he can make himself like a tamachacham, I guess. But tovelo bracha, so he gets a bracha for doing that. Hold on, if you're machmer, you get a bracha. Hold on, shul shal sheva, if it's praise. You get covered, like all rights, lots of three yachid, then you can't necessarily do so. So then you can't make yourself a Tamachacham unless they make you a Parasol al Tzibur, meaning you're right to be a Paranas. So the question is, so now what about reading Shema? So that will create an impression that he's more kavana than everybody else. So this is like kavan. Okay, so this is not something which is tsar. This is on the contrary. It doesn't cost him anything. All it does is bring, look how great his kayak of concentration is. Pani, let's go a little further. Mistalka, let's start him in AI say this. So this is a takonasi Yeshua. That at the time of Eretz, that he made up at the time that Eretz Yisrael was divided up, there was 10 takonos that he made. One of the takonos was this thing, that if the roads would get muddy, and you go through them with it, you know, in the winter, the wheels would make indentations in the road. And then in the summer, these indentations would dry out in the sun. So then the road would be like bumpy, very hard to walk on them. So what would you do? Naturally, you'd avoid the road. You'd go on the side of the road. You go on the side of the road, you'd be actually walking along the side of the private citizens' fields. Now that normally is usher. It's also to go on the side of an individual's field, especially while things are growing, because we say you're going to look at a person's stuff that's growing and you give it an ayin hara. That's an isser in halacha. But Yeshua made this, allow this. It's one of his esa takonos. Now this takon, even though it was made for Eretz Yisrael, but this is mutter even in Chutz La'aretz. Okay? I looked it up. It says, footnote to take a look at the tour and the Bach. And over there it says that the reason why this is mutter is because the pshat is not because Yeshua was masakin for Chutz La'aretz. He only made the takonos for Eretz Yisrael. But once it became the minhag to behave that way, so they adopted it all over, even Chutz La'aretz. Okay, so that's what it says. So, Mestakel and Son, they say this, you can go to the side of the road, and if your foot sinks into the mud, you can even go into the side of a field which is full of saffron, meaning saffron is a very expensive crop. You don't have to worry about you're going to damage the crop by seeing it. Now we have the Maisa, Amar Bavu. Rabbi Yeshua, a famous story. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua were walking. They were walking along the road. He was stuck. Let's talk about this. And they went off to the side of the road, just like we just said. They were allowed to do that because of those bumps in the road. They saw this Rabbi Yehuda ben Pappas coming along, and he was bumping along through, trudging through the road. Or maybe it was muddy, and he was trudging through the mud. So Rabbi Gamliel said to Rabbi Yeshua, "Me was that? Shemara Atzmai be'etzba. Who's this who's calling attention to himself? He's making like, you know, he doesn't want to accept the heterim. Everybody else is accepting that heterim. Even, you know, you and I, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, the Gadli Hador, and he thinks he's going to show that he's more pious than us. What kind of baloney is this? Amalai, so Yeshua said to him, Yehuda ben Pappas, so this is Yehuda ben Pappas. He's already, Kol Maisav L'Shem Shamayim. He says, not Gaiva, he is a big tzaddik. Amalei, v'lokei, tani, v'aldovashu, who shall shavach, l'kol reitz alas adatzmai. If it's something which is going to bring him praise, he's not allowed to do that. So, a yachid oisa, an individual, can do that. Tamachachav oisa, if he's a tamachachav, v'lokei, b'nu oisa panas al tzibur. Now we're in 31b. Unless you're a panas. Amalei, so, tani, v'aldovashu tzar, k'lo reitz alas adatzmai, yachid oisa, tamachachav oisa. So this case, he's actually going through pain. So therefore, it should be mutter. Okay. But it has to be, it doesn't disgrace other people. In other words, since Rabbi Yehuda ben Pappas was doing it in a manner which made Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua seem less pious than he was, so that, in fact, is a little bit of a disgrace. So that's why Rabbi Gamliel had the objection. Okay, I think we'll stop here, and we'll continue from here tomorrow.
Tomorrow we're all going to do Zoom.
Now tomorrow,